Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. After weeks of guests, we're having a show where it consists of I'm Steve Williamson, Mike Cosentino is sitting in, and we have Gary LeMaster calling in. And is Gary, are you there? No, not yet. All right, Gary's going to call back, and so it's going to be the three of us talking about the Mueller report. And I think we're going to talk about different sections of the report. I want to focus on the Russian investigation.
Yeah, please don't say just the Mueller report, Steve. It is, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest document of this century. This is because we are so poised, we are one election away from fascism. So, and the Mueller report is one of those things that might keep that election from tipping us over into all of the things that we are afraid of.
If you are familiar with Barr's testimony about what was in the report, it basically constitutes a lie. Trump and his administration was not cleared of collusion. Gary, are you there? Have we got Gary on?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing, Gary?
Hi, Gary. Nice to see you. But let's jump into that. No collusion with the Mueller report was looking for. We get the pronunciation. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm doing
the
Mueller
report was looking for was agreement that the Trump campaign it was looking for tacit or a direct agreement that would lead to conspiracy or something else.
So there is no crime of collusion.
But they found plenty of obstruction of justice.
That's a different thing. Obstruction of justice is a different thing.
But it's a thing.
All right. But obstruction of justice is a different thing.
But it's a thing.
Wait a minute. We're talking about the investigation of the Trump administration. It was not an investigation of collusion for the legal reason that collusion is not a crime. So they were investigating the Russian administration and Donald Trump for the crime of conspiracy. So conspiracy is a crime, and collusion is not like on the books. And even though collusion in the press is a very accurate way to talk about what happened, it's not actually a crime. So when Trump says, I was cleared of collusion, they didn't even examine collusion as a legal issue. They examined conspiracy. And what they did was they walked up to a whole bunch of conspiracy charges against Donald Trump and the administration. And they could not find proof, or they had evidence, but they didn't think they could win a case in court. And that's really what happened. So over and over, they find evidence of conspiracy. They go right up to the edge. They can't be comfortable with doing a prosecution that's going to result in conviction. And so they decide not to prosecute. This is not clearing somebody of collusion. This is not clearing somebody of conspiracy. It's legally, I suppose, clearing them and saying that they're not prosecutable for conspiracy. And that's what you have in the part of the report that's about the collusion of the administration with the Russians. The same way with Trump. They cannot get enough evidence that he knew, for example, that Michael Flynn was meeting with the Russian ambassador and trying to get sanctions. They can guess that he might have known. It seems logical that he might have known. They cannot get proof that he known. So this is like, white collar crimes are very hard to prosecute. And as I was talking to Mike beforehand, I was on three trials in New York, and there are guys shooting at each other, basically, or robbing people or stuff. It was hard to convict people of that. It is much harder to convict anybody of a white collar crime. It's so easy to hide these things. And frankly, at the beginning, I never thought they would be as sloppy as they were. Mike's looking at pages of redacted testimony. You're going to, if you look at the report, I think I've read about, 230 pages of it, maybe a little more than that. And I concentrated on the collusion part rather than obstruction of justice part. And
I think it's important to point out why they didn't reach a conclusion of conspiracy, in that if you take quotes from the summary, Mueller says the investigation established that several individuals affiliated with the campaign lied to the office and to Congress about their interactions with Russian-affiliated individuals and related matters. Those lies materially impaired the investigation of Russian election interference. And then later says some individuals invoked their Fifth Amendment right against compelled self-incrimination and were not, in the office's judgment, appropriate candidates for grants of immunity. And then even when the individuals testified or agreed to be interviewed, they sometimes provided information that was false or complete or incomplete.
Yeah,
It's a pretty good indication that there was a there. They just couldn't, because of all the obstruction and a lot of the individuals being out of the country, they just couldn't, find enough to charge the campaign members.
Yes, and they were afraid. Look, this is the President of the United States in his campaign, and they were afraid to charge people in the campaign or Donald Trump of, we're talking about the collusion, the conspiracy part of the case, if they couldn't win in court. I mean, they're over and over again, the evidence is there. There's a lot of evidence, but they don't think it's enough that they can get a successful prosecution. They just don't think that they can. They have too much to prove. They have to prove, for example, when the Russians give the campaign information on Hillary Clinton, what's illegal is giving money and funds. And you would have to establish that having WikiLeaks leak all this information on the Clinton campaign constituted an economic contribution to the case. And that's hard to prove. That would be new law. In other words, the law is set up to stop foreigners from donating money to campaign. It wasn't really structured properly to deal with the issue of them sabotaging the campaign through a lot of different things. So a couple of hundred pages that I read are focused on this, and I'll give you one example of this. Steve Bannon and this fellow Prince founded Blackwater. His sister is DeVos, who's the education. Yeah, and they met secretly with the Russians in some islands in near India. Okay. What happened was, and here's why it's hard to prove. There's a period where Bannon, who's now the a very important advisor of Trump, and Prince, who's sort of a informal but very important advisor of Trump, are exchanging all these texts. The texts disappeared. Prince doesn't have copies of them, and Bannon doesn't have copies of them, and they tell the prosecutors that they don't have any idea what happened to these texts. All right. If they had texts showing that they were lying, that would be one thing. But proving, understand, If you're in the press, you would be very suspicious with the timing of this, because these are secret meetings with the Russians, and the texts that go back and forth between Bannon and Prince have disappeared. So it's very, very, very suspicious. And if you're an ordinary person, you can figure they deleted the text. But they say they didn't. And you don't have copies of the text, and trying to prove that the text disappeared by deliberate cause, they couldn't do. So I'm just saying, a lot of the investigation comes up to issues like this. Mysterious thing. Go ahead, Gary.
On that point, in the summary, the Mueller office says that the office learned that some of the individuals we interviewed or whose conduct we investigated, including some associated with the Trump campaign, deleted, so they outright say deleted, relevant communications, or they communicated using applications that feature encryption or that do not provide for long-term retention of data or communications records. In fact, here's one of, it doesn't state this in the report, but one of the great ironies and bits of hypocrisy is that some of the Trump family and the campaign used and continue to use personal emails for government business. You know, it's exactly what they accused Hillary of and wanted to lock her up.
It's pretty astonishing when you read the report that I have not read the whole thing. I've concentrated on just one part of it. Mike's concentrated, I think, on obstruction of justice, right?
Well, what we wanted to cover today was just some of the things in the Mueller report. We wanted to read the Mueller report. If not all 448 pages, I want to tell everyone that Politico has a searchable Mueller report online, all 448 pages. You can go there and search for anything you want. You want to put in the word collusion? You want to put in the word obstruction? You can do a search, just like they have Bible searches and all those other things. So it's really a very handy tool.
New York Times has it too.
The Washington Post, great. The Washington Post has an annotated version that you can download or read. And what they have done is they've taken page after page and made some notes on it, an interpretive notes, which I kind of like. Their whole team worked on the Mueller report. One of the things I want to talk about this, I'm going to talk about obstruction this morning. I'm going to talk about clear presidential obstruction of justice, where he got in the way. Now think about this. The President of the United States, the Justice Department or agents of the Justice Department are investigating a foreign government's attack on the United States. And the president obstructs justice. The president gets in the way of that investigation. That's what we're talking about here on Democratic Perspective when we're talking this morning about the Mueller report. We're not talking about some stupid report that liberals think is going to save us from the Trump presidency. We're talking about really huge crimes for the president to be involved in. One of them, obstruction of justice. One of them, as Steve carefully explained, is not collusion. What the Mueller team was looking for was agreement that led to conspiracy.
Provable evidence of conspiracy.
Yes.
And they walked up to the edge of this thing several times, Mike, and they just
got it.
Couldn't do it.
Got it. But we do have obstruction of justice. When Trump told McGahn to oust Mueller, to fire Mueller, when Trump told his aide and then pressured him to deny it, that's in the Mueller report, and that's clear obstruction of justice. When Trump, Manafort tells Robert Gates not to plead guilty because Trump is going to take care of us. So Manafort, his campaign manager, tells Robert Gates, don't plead guilty because Trump is going to take care of us. That's obstruction of clear obstruction of justice.
The Trump administration is run in a personal way that's very close to mob thing. One of the things that Trump does to Comey is to keep – first he says how much he loves him and he thinks he's a great guy. And then he keeps – when he gets a sense that Comey is independent, then he keeps asking him if he wants his job. If you've been in business and somebody keeps asking you if you want your job, what they're trying to do is to get you to do something – that you might not want to do. So Trump is systematically working things. He's sending messages about how much he loves Flynn and how great he is, and at the same time he's firing him. What he's trying to do is bribe the people who even know after he fires them.
Very clearly, the Comey letter, Trump's lawyer said the original letter that Trump wrote to fire Comey, the original letter that Donald Trump, the President of the United States, wrote to fire Comey, should never see the light of day because it was so, as Steve was saying, so personal and so unprofessional and so guilty. It pointed to all of the things that Comey wouldn't do, to lie for the president, basically. And that was Trump's litmus test, that would Comey, would the director of the FBI lie for the president? We have to remind people, you know, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice works for the people of America. They don't work for the president as this president thinks they do.
Right. I mean, Trump takes everything very personally. He's demanding personal loyalty above doing your job. And he does that with everybody he comes in contact with. He ends up with people who are willing to do that. So you end up like Barr as attorney general. And Barr acts mostly as Trump's lawyer, defense lawyer, not as attorney general of the United States. This is not an accident, folks. This is systematically what he does. He demanded loyalty when he was in his corrupt businesses. We now know he lost billions of dollars. His personal lawyer, Cohen, facilitated a lot of the secret payments to these women and so forth and so on. Trump is demanding loyalty, and the only way loyalty, you break it, whether it's the mob or the Trump administration, is you prosecute some guy. You get like Cohen so you can prosecute him and put him in jail for a very, very long time, and then you can get him to break and talk.
Throughout the Mueller report, what I wanted to do this morning was read parts of the Mueller report. I know Gary has, he did a lot of work on the appendices. This is where, and don't forget, this is, out of this report, we have, 19 indictments, 5 guilty pleas. A lot of Trump's team, the people closest to Trump, have already gone to jail in 2 years of this administration. A lot of people have gone to jail already. It's logical to follow the conclusion that the more people are going to go to jail.
Right. A lot of the stuff that's redacted, folks, when you look at the report, a lot of the stuff is redacted with the phrase ongoing investigation. So this may not be completely over. It was always a long shot that they could prove anything as difficult conspiracy with this kind of people. And the problem, I guess, with the Mueller report and what's happened is that they got the little guys. They didn't get the big guys. And that was always the danger with these kind of investigations. Watergate was an example going the other way. Pretty much every other investigation, Iran-Contra, they prosecuted a lot of little guys, smaller players, people who were all hands-on in the conspiracies. But they weren't able to get the big players. And I think this is what's happened this time.
Well, that's it.
I don't think it's over. I think you have to, if you, first of all, if you, you were talking about, reading the report. Yeah, it is 400 and some pages. I read the whole thing. It's one of the best books I've read all year.
It's well written. It actually reads like a newspaper article.
It's a great mystery. But if you look at the summations, leading up to the congressional investigations that are going to be ongoing here, and in regard to the conspiracy, in the summation, it kind of ends with the office cannot rule out the possibility that the unavailable information would shed additional light on or cast in a new light the events described in the report. And then with regard to, it's clear that they couldn't make a determination, but it's certainly not an exoneration.
No.
When you get to the obstruction, the report states, quote, if we had confidence after a thorough examination of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate it.
Well, here, you conclude.
You have to take that further and look at the letter that was just written last week, signed by 800 former prosecutors, federal prosecutors, who have arrived at the conclusion that based on the evidence, any other U.S. citizen would be charged with felony obstruction of justice. The only reason Trump couldn't be charged or wasn't charged is because he's president.
Yeah, Mueller believed that he could not charge the president with a crime. And if he could not charge a president with a crime, he couldn't be prosecuted while he's president, then he couldn't charge him officially. He could bring up all the evidence. He could walk right up to the door, but he couldn't walk through it because – and it was not up to him. It was up to the public and to the Congress to understand.
But if you read the Mueller, and I want people to read the Mueller, if you read the other important thing is that Trump thought he couldn't be prosecuted for crimes, and so he committed lots of crimes. Because Trump thought he could, this was the best day in Trump's life when his lawyers told him, you know what, you have presidential immunity. The Justice Department has this 30-year-old memo that thinks the president can't be prosecuted for a crime. So he starts committing crimes, as far as I'm concerned, left to right. I want to read to you from, this is page 330. This is where the Mueller report concludes that all the evidence they found contradicts what the president said about one of his aides speaking, testifying. It says, substantial evidence supports McGahn's account that the president had directed him to have the special counsel removed, including the timing and context of the president's directive, the manner in which McGahn reacted, and the fact that the president had been told that the conflicts were substantial and were considered by the Department of Justice and should be raised with the president's personal counsel rather than brought to McGahn. So when this story came out, the Mueller report says, I'm reading from the report, this is a quote from Donald Trump, a typical New York Times fake story. And when the president spoke with McGahn in the Oval Office, he focused on whether he had used the word fire, saying, I never said to fire Mueller. I never said fire. Did I say fire? The president's assertion in the Oval Office meeting that he had never directed McGahn to have the special counsel removed runs counter to all the evidence we found.
Right. And so this is what happens over and over again. So they cannot prove, for example, that Trump knew that Flynn was having these secret meetings with the Russian ambassador. They can't prove it. You could look at it and say, why wouldn't he know that? And why wouldn't Flynn talk it over with him? But you don't have proof that he knew of it. And again, we're talking about legal, indictable, convictable proof of a crime. And that's what this report is. It's not an intelligence assessment. It's not a newspaper article. It's not research by a scholar. It's whether things are provable and whether they can get a conviction is how they decided stuff. And Mike is saying rightly on obstruction. They basically say that he committed obstruction, but they don't spell it out because to do so would be to say that he committed obstruction but not to indict him. And they decided, Mueller's people decided, that would not good. That is, you couldn't go up there and say he's guilty of obstruction but we can't indict him. So if they decided that if they can't indict him and can't prosecute him, then they can't quite say that he committed obstruction of justice. I mean, it's a fairly simple issue.
Well, then that's it. And some people feel, and I'm one of them, that feel that Mueller placed the president above the law by doing that. And anyone, and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all those guys are rolling over in their graves by placing anyone in power in the United States above the law. They've completely subverted the Founding Fathers and the Constitution.
Well, it's a long-standing practice. Now, you could say it's wrong, and I agree with you, Mike, but it's arguable. And a lot of what they say in the report is, this is arguable. In other words, he's obviously guilty of obstruction, but it's arguable that he was not. And so we're talking about prosecutions. We're talking about going to court. We're going to talk about a jury. You have one Trump supporter on a jury. You have one guy on there who's hiding that he doesn't believe Trump could ever do anything wrong. You've got a hung jury, no matter what the evidence.
You know, I watch a lot of cop shows on TV, too, and I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it. The fact that you have one Trump juror doesn't mean you don't bring charges.
I'm telling you, that's why there's a difficulty in bringing charges.
I don't care how hard it is.
Well, I know you don't, but that's why it's difficult if you're a prosecutor. And I don't mean that that was evidence. What I'm saying is, you have to convince 12 people of a complex obstruction of justice charge or a conspiracy charge. And they just didn't think they did it. All the guys who are indicted, with I think one exception, were indicted. And let's ask Gary, but they were all indicted for being caught lying. The guys who lied but didn't get caught didn't get indicted. Gary?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. I think really my takeaway after reading the whole report, and particularly just the summaries, I mean, if you don't want to devote the time to read the whole report, just go read the executive summaries, or, you know, for both sections. But, you know, a lot of the real interest is in the details. But the summaries basically, especially on obstruction, I think Mueller is basically referring the issue to Congress.
Yeah.
He's wouldn't indict him, the president himself, but I think he's saying, look, you know, there's evidence here. You know, Congress, you have the authority to impeach and to hold the president accountable. I can't indict him myself. And I think that's really the conclusion that Mueller came to. And I think a lot of this will come out in the ensuing investigations from Congress. I think.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Gary, that the investigations are not over.
And they get Mueller in front of the cameras and testifying, I think the public opinion could start to turn rather quickly.
So what are continuing investigations? Before the show, we talked about you looking in, because this is not over yet, right, Gary? Because there's
no.
What are the other investigations? What are the loose ends that you see in the report? And then we'll go back to talking about obstruction.
Well, if you go to the appendices of the report, and again, you can find the report in multiple places online. It's all over the place. If you go to the appendices, there are 11 cases that have been transferred to U.S. attorneys from the, you know, the Mueller investigation. Two of them against unknown individuals or companies. There are 14 cases that have been referred to U.S. attorneys, the FBI, the Department of Justice, or the National Security Division. 12 of those involve unknown individuals or companies. And there are three of the cases that are referred to have been completed, resulting in convictions and sentences. And there's some, like Manafort is still to be sentenced. So there's a lot, you know, ongoing that we have yet to learn about. And that's what most of the redactions are about. So I think this is far from over. I mean, if you also look at the appendices, you know, each of the cases individually, even though they're redacted, you can pretty easily surmise that some of them, at least, include Roger Stone, Randy Credico, Jerome Corsi, Eric Prince, and then of course the indicted Russian operatives that have not been extradited or arrested and probably won't be.
Well, I want to mention that, too. The indicted Russian operatives, one of the things the Mueller report talks about is those that interfered in the election of 2016, those Russians that interfered, that they have evidence of Russia interfering in the 2016. That's, nobody questions that. But and the Mueller report.
Except Trump.
Except the president, who's lying, by the way. The president is lying. But they decided.
But that's not news, Mike.
It is news. It is news every time he does it, and he needs to be called out every time he does it. It is news. Geez, don't even get me started. Yes, you're right. As far as the American corporate media is concerned, it's not news.
No, it's what I mean by
but
not
it is news
is that it. he has told, what, 3,000 lies that they've discovered and proved since he was 10,000 lies since he's been in there. So the next lie, assume he's lying, folks, because that's what the man does. He's done it his whole career, and he's doing it now as president.
So if I rape one person, it's not a crime, but or it is a crime. But if I rape 10,000, it's not. So I'm
sorry. What? Say that again. Mike.
I'm having trouble saying that the amount of crimes that he commits over and over aren't somehow get watered down.
But these are lies. We're talking about lies.
Before we go on to that,
is not necessarily
before
a crime.
We go on to that, before we pick up that Picayune thing, we want to talk about who they decided to prosecute, the Russians, and who they decided not to prosecute, and that is the Americans that were involved in the disinformation campaign against Hillary and Bernie and Trump, for that matter. They put out lots of pro-Trump stuff, and they put out lots of anti the Americans. So they decided not to prosecute the Americans, one of which was Paul Horner, who was on this show, who was, I mean, they hauled him to the Capitals, this little Tempe kid who did this all of these fake news for Trump as a joke, as a lark. And he felt rightfully so that he was part of getting Trump elected. They hauled him to the capitals of Europe to find out. This is when they first started investigating fake news. So the Mueller report, one of the things in the Mueller report that makes interesting reading for this reader is all of the Russia investigation, all of the social media disinformation and misinformation campaign, which everybody went nuts on every time they saw, you know, Hillary, you know, had her child molestation ring and the pizza place. I mean, these blatant lies that changed the results of the election. The Mueller report decided to prosecute the Russians and not prosecute the Americans involved.
The thing I would add, Mike, is that there has not been put into place by the government to prevent Russians from interfering in the next election in 2020. The president has obstructed the kind of things that would have prevented Russian interference. In Europe now, they're terribly afraid there's massive Russian interference in the European elections. And so they have not, with all the scandal that came out and with all the complex and all the crimes, they have not really put in enough infrastructure to actually stop the Russians from just doing it again. Maybe not as importantly, not as easily, not as extensively, but they haven't really stopped. They haven't stopped them in Europe, and they haven't really put in place a way to stop them here for the next election.
I do have to add
that's really true. They, you know, the report also details how they hacked into voting machines. You know, they not only hacked into a lot of states' databases of voters, but they did find evidence that it hacked into to some voting machines. They can't determine what happened as a result. With regard to Trump's lies, Mike was talking about, I'd like to direct people to if they're interested, to one of the most fascinating things in the report was to read Trump's written answers to the questions by Mueller. Because he suddenly turned into this guy who claims to have the world's best memory, suddenly turns into Sergeant Schultz. You know, I know nothing, I see nothing, I hear nothing. Almost all of his answers begin with the words, I do not recall.
30 times. The problem with not having him, so what happened, what the Mueller investigation compromised and submitted written questions to Trump, which were probably answered by his lawyers. And that allows him not to be questioned. So when he says something, he can say, I can't remember. Cross-examination of that is what I'm going to say. And he says it over and over. And that was a successful strategy in terms of protecting himself from even more direct indictment.
We do want to mention, by the way, that Paul Horner has since 2016 died. One of the leading American disinformation social media people. from Tempe, Arizona, has died, and I won't. I don't know the circumstances.
Don't you think that that Paul actually did a service to the American public, even though he was doing all the fake news stories? He intended them as jokes, but not realizing that people would take them seriously. But I personally think that his actions and his coming clean with it was the basis for drawing attention to the efforts by the Russians. I think.
Yeah, I think it helped.
It might have taken much longer to have gotten to understand what the Russians did.
Absolutely. Paul Horner did a service to the American people, the American political system, by showing how easy it was to plant these stories and how nuts the Trump supporters were to run with them. Nobody could believe that these stories were getting 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80, 90, 100,000 hits and then being spread all over the world by the stuff that Paul Horner, crazy
comic that he was,
stand-up comedian in Tempe, Arizona, they would take these things and it would become these huge things. And as I said, he was at the European Union, had him speak before the Brussels Parliament just to tell. So yes, Paul Horner did us a huge service, which I think is leading to today's headlines that about breaking up Facebook. Which is a whole other show, obviously, but the political clout of social media, Facebook chief among them, because we're talking about 2 billion. You can talk about Amazon, you can talk about Google, you can talk about all sorts of Reddit, Instagram, all the other social media platforms, but 2 billion people on Facebook, and whatever algorithms they're applying or not applying have such impact on our political system that I'm arguing for, and I realize this is a liberal argument against freedom of speech, but I don't know that 2 billion people on Facebook meets the smell test for freedom of speech.
I think there's some interesting work on this about the damage that false stories, lies, and just sort of hysteria does to the democratic process. I mean, there have been some work done out, some really serious work on the amount of damage. I think when we look at the Mueller report, to me it's kind of confirmation of all the things that you saw in the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN. They got almost all this information right. The more obscure things like the Steele report, the Mueller report really doesn't go into. We don't know how much of that stuff is true or false even today.
Let me read you a headline from this is Jasmine Bath. Excellent report. This is today. This is the Mueller report's a month old. One of the things we don't get to do on Democratic Perspective is timely stuff because we're only on once a week. But here's a headline I want to read. That's today's headline: How the Mueller report could end the Trump presidency without impeachment. And what Jasmine Bath is suggesting is Democrats are wary of the political perils of impeachment. Everybody's freaking out that Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to impeach. Tom Strayer, all these other Trump critics, including me, are saying impeach, impeach, impeach. We owe it to the American meaning Democrats, owe it to the American people to bring charges against this criminal president. We have a criminal organization in power. That is the Republican Party. We must at least begin the charges. But the Democrats are very wary of this because they've concluded and their fear, they say, she says, stems largely from the memories of impeachment proceedings involving Bill Clinton in 1998 when Republicans ignored polling data that showed voters opposed impeachment and paid the price at the ballot box.
I think part of Pelosi's original thing was before. What's happened, folks, now is more obstruction of justice in that Trump is refusing to allow anybody to testify before Congress. So we're now headed into a structural fundamental conflict where the legislative branch, which is an equal branch of the government, is asking to interview people for in order to do the legislation and protect the country, and Trump is refusing to have people testify.
So
we're headed for, I think, Mike, just to update it, I think Pelosi and I think a lot of people are getting, they're not going to, I'm afraid they're not going to, whether you think impeachment is a good idea or not, they're going to a constitutional crisis that's going to be maybe cause an impeachment.
What Jasmine Bath's article talks about, remember the headline was how the Mueller report could end the Trump presidency, which of course warms our hearts. Without impeachment, Democrats, the subhead is Democrats should run on a message from 1860, and that is you need a president you can trust. And the rest of the article is interesting, and I'm saying you probably should find it online, how the Mueller report could end the Trump presidency without impeachment. But I'm going to just read this. Although Trump promised to drain the swamp and eliminate corruption in Washington, the Mueller report reveals that Trump did not make any attempt to purify politics. Instead, he further contaminated them. Therefore, Democrats can ask whether he can be trusted to serve in the interests of the people. This is similar to the argument made by Republicans in 1860. They wielded a report that was clear evidence that the party at the time could not be trusted with power years after the corruption was discovered in the president's office. So they can take a 100-year-old or 150-year-old case and perhaps use this to prosecute the president.
So I think to conclude, just things that other people have said. One, Trump was never cleared of collusion or conspiracy. He's not cleared. If you read the report, he's not cleared. They just don't think they have enough evidence to win a prosecution. And I think the other point is that Mike is making is that the case that he of obstruction of justice against him is a case that would have been prosecuted. How many, Gary, do you remember how many prosecutors said
no.
it was?
It's now more than 800 said that he is clearly should be charged with obstruction. And these are former federal prosecutors.
Say that again.
I'd like
800?
To point out, you know, and ask the question, you know, looking at what's going forward, what would Republicans do if the tables were turned? You know they would impeach. They're a lot better at playing dirty politics than Democrats are.
They are.
And, so you got a bunch of lawyers.
What's going to happen is that they're going to try to run out the clock, and now they have, in the Senate, they're going to start conducting competing investigations looking into the beginnings of the so-called witch hunt and the Steele dossier. And they're going to try to ramp up all these sensational headlines claiming that the Mueller investigation never should have happened. And so if the Democrats don't really continue the investigations in a big way and start impeachment proceedings, they could well end up losing the competing investigation battle going forward.
We got about a minute left, Gary. We're going to do just a few announcements here. We got our Yavapai Democratic Party meeting in Cottonwood at the Red Rooster on May 21st. We're starting at 6 now and trying to give those people that have to work for a living a chance to get there. May 21st, 6 p.m., Red Rooster Cafe in Cottonwood, Yavapai Democratic meeting. We have some young Democrats coming from NAU. So please get your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter and say, here, come to the restaurant and get involved in politics. There's food and drink available.
Door has Mark Kelly is coming here. He's going to be speaking at the next Door breakfast. And there's also a fundraiser for him. Both of these you can find online on the Door website. We recommend you go there and check out what's happening. Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZ. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.